Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Compliance Week News Podcast for the week of Monday, July 11th. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and this week we are going to talk about whistleblower protections under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. As most of you know, Section 806 of SOX stipulates that workers can't be fired or suffered retaliation for blowing the whistle on financial fraud. Now, several court decisions have come along since then, giving employees ample opportunity to argue their cases in court or in administrative hearings at the Labor Department. Today, however, we're going to look at a recent decision by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals that gives companies a little more maneuvering room to fire whistleblowers who may have been facing termination for unrelated actions anyways. The very bare bones of this case, which is called Hemphill versus Celanese Corp, are this. An employee, Jeff Hemphill, he had raised alarms about possible corporate misconduct at Celanese. Hemphill had also been accused of yelling at a secretary and then lied about that during an investigation by HR, which recommended firing him. Long story short, the Fifth Circuit Appellate Court eventually ruled that Celanese could dismiss Hemphill because his behavior during that HR investigation would have led him to be fired regardless of any whistleblower complaint that might have been out there. Now, as I said, this is a very bare-bones description of the case, so here with us today to give a little more detail about it and its implications is Chris Robertson. He is a partner at the law firm of Seyfarth Shaw, who is co-chair of the firm's whistleblower practice, and he has authored a legal bulletin on this decision. So, Chris, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you. Happy to join the call.
So, Chris, as I just mentioned, I gave only a bare-bones description of this case, Hemphill versus Celanese Corp. Could you give us the other relevant details and bring us up to speed on the history of this case and what the particular legal issue in question was?
Certainly. In this case, the plaintiff, Jeff Hemphill, was an internal auditor for the company, and as part of that, his duties were primarily to review various compliance issues internally at the company. And on parallel tracks, he had raised some issues in his employment capacity related to some auditing issues. At the same time, he had the interchange that you mentioned with one of the employees of the company. And the critical sort of, when we think about SOX, the first issue is this a protected, is this a covered employer? Clearly it was. And then the next issue that was litigated was whether the activity on the first track, his reporting audit issues, constituted protected activity. The district court found that it did. So once you've met that burden, you've essentially met your prima facie case, the burden shifts to the employer to demonstrate by clear and convincing evidence that they would have taken the adverse action, and he was terminated, so there was adverse action.
Mm-hmm.
And so the issue was, could they meet with clear and convincing evidence the fact that they would have terminated him, irrespective of the fact that he had engaged in protected activity? At the district court level, they moved for summary judgment. They put in substantial evidence of the HR investigation and took the position that provided a ground to terminate him, irrespective of his whistleblowing activity. And the district court agreed. He was unable to create an issue of fact at summary judgment. The district court dismissed the case. It went up to the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit, reviewing the record, affirmed that decision, finding that the evidence presented by the company was sufficient to grant summary judgment, and then he had not raised an issue of fact.
Okay. So I guess I want to be crystal clear on this because I know compliance officers sweat out whistleblower complaints quite a bit. At least to the Fifth Circuit's eyes, if a company has a legitimate, independently confirmed reason to fire a whistleblower, they have legal cover to do so. That's the right way to look at this?
Yes, and the real issue, when you think about what this case really stands for, the documentation that Celanese, the defendant company, had mm-hmm. was excellent. They, from the moment they started their investigation, they kept very good records. They had witness statements. They had contemporaneous documentation that the employee had engaged in, you know, this interchange with the employee, had acted unprofessionally. They conducted a comprehensive investigation of that and kept excellent records. So their records that they put in the court below at summary judgment were what carried the day. Where we as defense counsel, where we as compliance officers dealing with these cases struggle is when we're presented with the, quote, rationale for terminating an employee independent of whistleblowing activity, and we say to our client, well, can you get me the documentation on that? And we find that it's oftentimes lacking.
Okay.
And so the demonstrating the record of the, you know, non-retaliatory reasons sometimes proves very difficult. So this case stands for, more than anything else, the fact that keeping excellent documentation and keeping good records about, you know, an employee's performance and why they might otherwise be terminated is so important.
You know, that actually leads into a question I had wanted to ask, not so much how companies can use the hemp pill decision, but how they might misuse it or misunderstand it or think, oh, great, now I've got more of a free pass here. And aside from the documentation, what about things like impartiality of doing an investigation into a whistleblower or anything else? What should they be doing right, or what might they do wrong if they blunder a little too quickly into this?
Yeah, the big issue that comes up is pretext. And so the issue that the employee will raise is that an investigation was undertaken to create a basis to terminate someone, and timing is critical in that. One of the key facts in this Hempel decision that the court really focused on was the fact that the whistleblowing conduct was reported to one group of people, but the HR investigation was undertaken by a separate group of people. And the decision makers, although there was one employee that overlapped, that employee was essentially presented with a fait accompli about the termination decision and simply, you know, approved it, but did not independently make the decision to terminate the employee. So, again, in addition to the documentation issue, what I wouldn't want companies to take away from this decision is that the same person who whistleblowing activity is reported to, also, if that person also makes the termination decision, that's a much more difficult case. Mm-hmm. Even though they may have a rational and sustainable reason for why the employee was terminated, if the same person to whom conduct was reported is also the person that made the termination decision and the timing is very close in time, that's a difficult case. It doesn't mean you can't win them, but it makes it more difficult. And so the separation in this case of a function was also a critical factor in how the court came out.
And one last question. We mentioned that this decision came about in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, but we've got other circuits out there. Do we have any sense of have other circuits ruled on issues like this yet, or whether this might be at odds or breaking new ground in SOX whistleblower law?
Not really breaking new ground. I think we've seen a more employee-friendly decisions come out of the coasts, the Ninth Circuit, which is in California, the First Circuit and the Second Circuit in New York and in Massachusetts, and the Fifth Circuit in Texas and the Seventh Circuit in Chicago. We've seen, you know, slightly more employer-friendly decisions, but we've certainly seen a trend in our practice since Dodd-Frank of more employee-friendly decisions. That's what made this decision something that we decided and thought was important to comment on, because it was a little bit of bucking the trend of what we'd seen since the passage of Dodd-Frank up until now.
Okay. Well, Chris, that is all the time we have to talk about this today, but you covered plenty of ground, so thank you very much for your time.
And thank you. I appreciate it.
And again, everyone, that was Chris Robertson of the law firm Seyfarth Shaw talking with us today about the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals decision, Hempel versus Celanese, which gives companies a bit more breathing room under SOX whistleblower protection rules to discipline or terminate employees. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening. and I hope you'll join us again next time.